pleased to welcome to our studios members of an emerging Dallas rock trio whose debut EP has been turning heads lately. Their outfit is making their name as rollicking and exuberant rockers who will make music the way they want to at a unique studio over in Dallas's Deep Ellum. You're going to find out much more as I speak to Brandon Brown and Nash Griggs of the Dallas band Omicron J Trauma. Welcome, guys. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Before we kind of talk about the band, I wanted to learn a little bit more about the two of you, if you don't mind. And let's go ahead and start with Brandon Brown. Where are you from, man?
I'm from a suburb north of Dallas. I started playing in a band in high school. I like started my own and with just some of my friends. And we started playing in Dallas. And that's where I met Nathan initially at the studio. So I was playing at a venue just down the street. I was walking by and I saw the Four Reels logo and I was like, is that? I was super into tape machines and like where I was from, there wasn't even like a record shop. So yeah. I was always trying to find someone who just listened to music, so to speak. And then I saw a tape machine. I was like, is this for real? And I talked to him on the phone, met him. And then he had all these tape machines and he was super into all that. And he's a really smart guy also. I didn't really know at all. It was my first music contact ever. So I had no idea. I was meeting Nathan and then Nash. Correspondingly, I just thought I was meeting my first studio owner,
right,
so to speak. But then we recorded some music, and I came back and over and over process. And then eventually we had good songs, and then that's when Nash and Nathan joined the band.
Okay.
And Nash and I started hanging out all the time and
awesome,
really working together.
Are you the one that's from Capel?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
gotcha,
yes,
gotcha.
Yes.
All right, that's cool. A lot of people know where that is. So,
gotcha, yeah.
So, you know, kind of before what you were talking about, what, you know, back in the day kind of drew you to music, man?
Nirvana.
Okay.
And then I just got really into playing. I owned a guitar, and then a guy came, one of my dad's friends came to visit us, and he had this Telecaster. And as soon as I saw it, it was one of the most clicking moments of my mind. I was just like, oh, yeah, don't care about anything else other
okay.
than that thing. So then I just started playing guitar, and I found out I could write faster than I could learn songs. So then I just started writing a lot. And then I just started playing with my friends in high school. But then I didn't start taking it seriously until I got out and stuff, and I really started working on my songwriting.
Yeah.
And then once I brought it back to the studio and we started working on this is when Nash and I became very, very close, and I learned a bunch about production. And correspondingly, Nash and I just taught each other a lot about music, and we would compare and contrast different things and different opinions. But that's when I really got into music, so to speak.
Gotcha. So you mentioned Nirvana. Who were some of your other early influences?
Oh, wow. And after Nirvana, kind of got into like lo-fi music, so to speak. And then got into, started getting into just pop music, just all pop music. That's what I just define my genre taste. I declare the Beatles and Nirvana, Weezer, Ramones, all that are just as pop to me as
really
anyone else, so to speak. And that's what I listen to. I just like pop music and music that, I mean, we use the term music slaps where it doesn't slap. And that's kind of
yeah.
the, we just, Chopin slaps. So I listen to it and that's kind of the way we go.
We've also got Nash Griggs from the band with us. Are you also from the DFW area?
I was born in Fort Worth over at Harris Methodist Hospital. And I lived in like Grapevine and then Fort Worth and Dallas. And when Nathan and I opened up the studio, full disclosure, Nathan and I are related. Nathan is my dad.
Yes.
He was opening the studio and I was always around music growing up. Nathan obviously plays music. He's a drummer, and my mom sang in bands. And
okay.
I had that experience growing up around it, but neither of my parents were ever really pushed it on me. They were never like, oh, you have to do this or whatever. And I just started listening to Green Day at one point, and I said, that sounds easy. I can do that. I can play power chords.
Yeah.
And I got like a couple of guitar lessons. I think I had a few guitar lessons, and then my mom said, oh, well, I can't really like afford the lessons anymore. And I was like, that's fine, because I'm already playing like all the time, so I don't really need this. The guy had basically shown me how to put my hands on the thing and got me where I needed to be able to teach myself.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
So do you kind of play by ear?
For the most part, yeah. For the longest time, I thought of myself as more of a player and less of a songwriter or anything like that. And that changed a lot once I started hanging out with Brandon. He made me think about, like he says, pop music. I'd always wanted to write catchy songs. That was always the thing that annoyed me the most about the songs I was writing, was that it wasn't catchy enough, and some of it sounded like too much of a downer or whatever. And when I started hanging out with him, I was like, oh, like, you can actually make intelligent pop music. That I think that's why a lot of people think of pop music as like a derogatory term. They just think of, oh, well, there's this song, you know, you like this, they hear some not very well written song on the radio with like that's really loud and obnoxious, and they think, oh, that's what all music must be like today.
Sure.
And that's, of course, not the case. Like any of the music you play on your show, there's tons of great music coming out. It's just you have sometimes you have to look for it a little bit more. And what we really like to do is just make well-crafted, intelligent pop music. And, you know, I love the Beach Boys and everything like that.
Okay.
And anybody who knows that music knows that the people who made it knew a lot about what they were doing.
Absolutely. <you know? laughs> Yeah. Really built an awesome friendship here. And it's always good that you can stick that out when you're basically working together. You know, sometimes people that friends that work together, it can kill a friendship. So I hope that you guys can, you know, stick it out.
The funniest thing is that we've never had any disagreement musically, really. I said this the other day, and I still think it's true. Like, we've probably had more disagreements, like the three of us, is Nathan as well, we've had probably more disagreements about where to go eat than we've had about like what to do with a song or what to do with mixing or something like that.
Yeah.
We've
all been living together also for like a while. So I mean, we're extremely close.
Yeah. We're all on the same page musically for sure. And obviously we're very close, but sometimes with that comes, you know, sometimes you butt heads a little
bit. Well, sure.
You get around that.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm talking to Brandon and Nash from Dallas's Omicron J Trauma, and we've been alluding a little bit to this awesome studio that you guys work in over there. This is called, is it Farallog Recording Studios?
Yes.
I'm pronouncing everything right so far, so I'm proud of myself. I understand this is in Deep Ellum, and you've been mentioning, Nash, how your father runs the studio. And
yes.
I know that, you know, to you, maybe that's kind of like old news or whatnot.
Yeah. it's funny because, well, my parents were never really sheltered me from a lot of things.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, being around music, you do see some crazy stuff. But not only was I around musicians and all of that, but then I was in Deep Ellum. And Deep Ellum, if anybody doesn't know what Deep Ellum is, it's just a huge entertainment district, lots of bars, lots of clubs, all of that stuff. And especially in the time that we've been down there, it's gone through a drastic change. We are the only business that was open 7 years ago on our block.
Really?
That is still there. And now everything else is like filled up around us. And there's like tons of restaurants. And there's actually a recording studio next door to us, Legacy Music Group. And they're really cool. They do a lot of like hip hop and stuff. So seeing all that and then growing up down there, I have a weird sort of perspective. For example, like some kids, like if they're not around drinking or anything like that when they grow up, they like might think that drinking is like really awesome. I do not think that after seeing a few people puke in the street and things like that, I'm just like, nah, I'm all right. I mean, you know, drinking is fine in moderation, but
I used to hang out in Deep Ellum a lot.
Yeah.
Back in the day, in its, you know, previous iteration, basically, before it was reborn, like it kind of is now. So I might have been one of those kids that you saw out there, so I apologize if I scarred you.
No, probably not. Well, it's funny, too, because now there's a lot more people who come down there because it's a place to go, like it's a touristy kind of spot, which I'm fine with as long as people are, you know, supporting businesses. And I mean, a big reason that people come down there is they come down there for music, and
of course
they come down there to see awesome shows. I mean, there's a great new big venue, the Bomb Factory, and we saw Father John Misty there. My dad and I saw Kraftwerk and all sorts of great shows.
It's a really cool place, and I'm so glad that it has really kind of been reborn, I guess you could say. It's way different than it was when I was going around down there. It was mainly empty businesses, you know, but it was a fun place to be as a teenager. So
it's a little less Wild West than you probably used to be.
No, that's good news. That's good news for sure. So, in regards to the studio, though, I thought it's kind of interesting to point out that Farallog Recording Studios is kind of set up in a manner that most studios are not these days, right?
Yes.
In that you're doing a lot of actual analog recording in there.
Yes,
right?
We are all analog. We have a computer to do rough mixes onto, but it has Audacity.
Okay.
You know, really high tech DAW. The reason we use analog equipment is just because that's what my dad grew up using, and he never really stopped using it. He's had some experience with Pro Tools or Logic or, you know, any of the other many DAWs that there are, but it's, we really like the workflow of analog.
Real quick, it's also kind of funny, Nathan, he was saying Nathan grew up on that gear. That's also what Nash and I, like, Nash, he grew up obviously from the start, but I just got into it myself, but mm-hmm. Nash and I have done 99.999% of our recording on analog gear.
Wow.
I have, like, an 8-track, he has, like, a 4-track, I have, like, a little 8-track, like, digital mixer for writing and stuff, and, like, Audacity, as he was saying, but we really just used analog our entire lives, so it's just more comfortable to us, for sure.
Yeah, and it's not, I remember saying this to someone, it's not really like a form of, like, people have this idea of nostalgia or right. whatever. It's not nostalgia. We like the way it works, and it's not even about the, because the other thing people will say, it's like, oh, it's warm or whatever.
The sound,
and,
yeah, the tone, yeah.
Most people really can't tell the difference between that. You, like, unless you're a really
audiophile,
you know, an audiophile yeah. or something.
The tape machine offers yeah. limitations that are very theoretical to creating good music. I don't even know how else to say it other than that. But, like, a 16-track tape machine, especially for a starting band like what we did, if you can't do it on 16 tracks, you're doing something wrong. That means that you don't have a song. So, I mean, a lot of our stuff is 4-track drum sounds. And, I mean, we do a bunch of weird stuff. We got things over on different tracks. But it really pushes you really hard to work. And you can't loop things. You can't focus on – and you can use a drum machine and whatnot. Yeah. But you really got to pay attention to everything that's happening at any specific point in time, and you can't take shortcuts. It really forces you to be a real musician.
Things become retroactive, as has always mm-hmm. been the case, you know what I mean? Vinyl already came and died, but it's now, it lives again.
Yeah.
And am I mistaken? Did I see, like, some cassettes that
y'all
brought
in? Yes, we have cassettes. We don't have any vinyl records yet. We have some cassettes and some CDs.
That is amazing to yeah. me, because where can you even get a new cassette player? Can you get
you
one?
You can buy. I don't think they sell a lot of newer ones. They sell some. They'll sell, like, little Walkmans, like, at Urban Outfitters and stuff. I think that, actually, I can't remember. I think I might have seen a thing where Sony was making a Walkman again, where it was like you could also play, you could, like, convert it to digital or
okay.
something like that, which I think is cool. I think that you're going to see that a lot more, where people are going to be remaking those things and kind of updating them, so you have, like, these digital kind of analog hybrids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's fun. It's fun to hold. What I like about cassettes, like, I used to go to shows a lot more a couple years ago, and I would buy cassettes at band shows because, mainly, like, if you're dancing around in the pit or whatever, you don't have to worry about, like, having a big clunky record and, like, breaking
yes.
it. You can just stuff that thing right in your shirt pocket, and it's not going anywhere.
The new cassette. It's it fits right into your pocket.
Yes. It's awesome.
I'm all for this because I have an incredible and admittedly very beat up old collection of, like, of my old cassettes,
yeah.
tapes, all this punk rock music that you
That's
cannot
awesome.
Get
awesome.
Anymore. So I'm ready for people to embrace that again so that I can sell it for high dollar. So we'll see. I guess this would be a perfect time to ask about the band name, because it's very unique, and I think a lot of people are going, Omicron de what? So, I mean, is this a radio-friendly story, or can you explain the name of the band if you want to? I mean, it's
yeah,
up to you guys.
It's more so of a... I kind of use the Toto example more than anything. It's like you need something on the box, and then something goes on the box, and nothing replaces the name that's on the box. And
okay.
then 2 years down the road, you're looking, you're like, we really got a band, Omicron J Trauma, on the radio.
Yes.
But it comes from, it's kind of random. It had more meaning, so to speak, but we just thought about it, like, yeah, we can't really think of another name that works for this music other than, I mean, it does define kind of that oddness, so to speak, of the music, and that kind of fits with the tone of the music, I believe, to a certain extent.
No, it does. It absolutely does. And I just I think a lot of people are curious, so I did want to ask you guys about that. What we've kind of been describing is that you guys are the primary members of the band, but you do have help from your drummer, who also runs the studio yeah. and everything. But how does this leave you guys to handle live shows with that limited personnel?
So when we play live, when we play full band shows live, we have us playing guitar and singing, and Nathan on the drums, and we have a tape machine for tracks.
Okay.
So we have bass, keyboards, and the occasional, like, auxiliary vocal or percussion or something.
Right.
The reason for that is because if we wanted to hire musicians who we felt comfortable with, it would cost more.
Of course, yeah.
It also really fits the style because it came out of that. It came from just, we don't have a bass player. We need a bass player. Nash is going to play bass and guitar. So
yeah.
What it does is we play to a click and we have tracks that intercut in between the songs. And it's more like a concerto.
I got you.
The vibe that it gives. And then we have other projects that we're working on also that do other things. But it's cool for this type of music. It really makes us back to back, and it's song after song, and it really makes us concise, and it gives us a cool imitation. But
we use a lot of capos and stuff, so we don't want to have just dead air during that. Was like the worst thing in some of our early shows is we've worked out the kinks a little bit since like our first show where we were tuning a lot, and it's like, oh, there's nothing going on.
Sure.
We don't talk to the audience much, really, so...
I understand. I think anybody who's been to a live show is familiar with that kind of awkward silence between the songs where you get some, you know, like the tuning and the feedback and all that. So I think this is a preferable way to go. Uh-huh. So I wanted to play the debut single, Leave You Alone. What can you tell me about this tune?
This song was written in with Trevor and myself while we were in our developing phase, just kind of writing and stuff, and it was one of the first songs that came out of it. It was one of the first things that we finished. It was actually the first thing that we finished, and that's why we put it on the radio first.
Okay.
But our radio promoter said that it was a good song to pursue just because it has kind of a similar edge and it's very catchy and whatnot. So we support it and we like it a lot.
That's by Omicron J Trauma. It's their debut single, Leave You Alone, and it is found on their debut EP. You should have thought about that. Well, I thought about it, and I decided I'd keep the band around. They're still here in studio with me. I have sitting alongside me. All right, if you want to be specific, I'm standing there sitting because I like to look down upon my subjects.
There you go. That's awesome.
No, that's just the scenario we're in here. But I have Brandon Brown and Nash Griggs here with me. They both play guitar, both sing for the band, and we're going to find out more about them as we continue our discussion here. Your sound is pretty hard to pinpoint, and that's not a bad thing. All right, sometimes people say that, and you might be like, oh gosh, we have to defend it. I am, as you guys heard the songs I was playing in the first hour of the show, I'm all about eclectic music and tearing down genre barriers and just playing what's good. So
that's us.
You guys are hard to pinpoint, but you're really kind of wanting to make your own path rather than fit into a box, right?
The genre, we call it dissociative rock. Trevor and I came up with that while we were in the developing phases.
Okay.
We were just in the middle of a sleep and just kind of came up and kind of came out and we're like, oh yeah, that definitely fits. And oddly enough, as to the name or the genre, dissociative rock probably describes the music a little better than Omicron.
It's anything we do, we just try to make sure the music comes first and then whatever kind of follows after that is kind of just practical. It's like form following function.
Yeah.
Like whether it's the name or the sort of the genre that we come up with. I mean, it just makes sense for the music that we're making.
Your band has already been getting a lot of attention from, as I'll call them, the movers and shakers in Dallas. But I know that you've already got your sights set outside of just Texas, haven't you?
Yes.
We're planning on kind of moving out towards probably the East Coast because they seem to like us out there, playing us quite a bit. Not exactly sure how we're going to do that.
Okay.
But we're slowly kind of making our way out there, and we're also playing a show in Alpine, Texas at Railroad Blues. Alpine's down near Marfa and everything.
Right.
So that'll be fun, kind of getting out of town. And I've never been to Marfa, but I've heard it's actually pretty beautiful out there.
Yeah, so. I have not had the opportunity either, so send me a postcard when you're down there. I was mentioning these people in Dallas that have been paying a lot of attention. I know that public radio has been a big part of giving you guys some spotlight, and that's quickly becoming a big proponent of the band Omicron J Trauma. While you guys are here, would you be willing to kind of speak a little bit about the vital nature of non-commercial stations like KETR? I mean, Dallas has their own, of course.
Yes, exactly. I think non-commercial AAA stations are really a great place to get a start because, like you said, it's eclectic. You kind of get played to stuff that you might not get played next to on a rock or an alternative station where things might be a little bit narrower.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. There's a reason why those stations are that way. You know, you might hear us get played to Depeche Mode, or you might hear us get played to next to The Clash or Sam Cooke or whoever. It's a really great kind of just celebration of music, not necessarily one genre. Mm-hmm. And like
you got played next to Bryan Adams the other day. That was really cool. We were really stoked about that.
Somebody played us next to Summer of 69, and I thought that was pretty funny.
Wow.
It is a great song. So.
But it really does let you listen to your music in the context of a lot of different types of music. And it's crazy being able to see they played us in between the Beatles and some other Bob Dylan
and contemporary bands.
CCR.
I can't even remember some of the bands they played us. I think they played us that Rainbow Kitten Surprise.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
They played us next to them a couple times. And I just am really fascinated by radio and the way that I think it's a really great way to experience music because at its best form, radio is like your friend showing you a record without, you don't know anything about the band. You just hear the music and you're like, hey, here's some cool stuff. And you're kind of just setting it down there. Whereas, you know, sometimes finding music on the internet, you can be a little too informed by a band's image or
True.
Whatever it is. And radio, ultimately, the only thing, you have no idea what the dude singing the song or the girl singing the song looks like or what their story is or whatever.
Yeah.
All you know is you like the song or you don't like it or maybe you're unsure about it.
It's like seeing a lion in the zoo versus an actual wildlife on the plane. I mean, it's still a lion both ways, but I can tell you one way is a little bit more special for sure.
Yeah.
I miss the days, honestly, of, and y'all literally don't know about this because this was before you were born, but I literally miss the days when you could hear a band and know nothing about them. All you had was the album cover, which generally never had photos of them. There was no internet to go look them up on. I know that makes me sound ancient, but it wasn't that long ago where you could not go and just look up information about folks, and it was just in your mind. They were like these legendary figures.
Well, we actually do a little bit, I mean, not to nearly as much of an extent, but we limit our social media presence and things like that for that exact reason, because it's, you don't need to know that Keith Moon doesn't go and do cocaine and super glue all stuff. You don't need to know that he's sleeping and has a headache sometimes.
Right.
It's nice to kind of keep yourself a little bit of distance so it's people get some mystery and they get to kind of just experience the spearhead of what you're doing, not the boring sitting around and waiting and
Absolutely.
Seeing the band in the studio and waiting for different things.
Waiting for pizza to show up.
That's most of what you're doing.
Yeah. I had a buddy at a job one time, and he was talking about, I was actually kind of comparing it because he had gone in the military at one point, and I was kind of, he was saying, he's like, yeah, a lot of people think, like, because he was telling me these like kind of funny stories about it, he's like, yeah, a lot of people think it's like, if you're, oh dude, you're in the military, you must have seen some like some crazy stuff, man. And he's like, no, most of the time you're just sitting around like waiting for things to happen. And I was like, and yeah, it's sort of similar to the way that some people perceive being a musician. They think, oh, you're just doing crazy stuff all the time, and sometimes you are really busy, but most of your time you're not playing music, you're waiting for,
most of the time we just talk,
talking about stuff,
you're waiting
to go to the next place or waiting for the show to start or
nothing
whatever.
Is as glorious as people always imagine it. It's like that meme where it's like people think I do this.
Yeah, people
I think
yeah, people think I do this, and we actually, people think you're, you know, whipping your hair around playing
Rockstar.
But most of the time we're just playing chess. That's
yes,
what we're doing.
A lot of time driving places and whatnot. I get it.
You're thinking him. When you're alone at night, you're seeing him. It will begin tonight. You're thinking him. When you're alone at night, you're seeing him.
Where can people find out more about the band, or if they're interested in checking out your debut, You Should Have Thought About That EP?
If you want to listen to the aforementioned EP, it can be found on SoundCloud, Spotify,
iTunes, Ebum's World,
MySpace,
AOL,
all of the, it's on all of the streaming platforms.
Okay.
And all of the big sites like SoundCloud. And I'm trying to think of where else you can find out like more about us. I guess you could just...
I'm pretty sure if somebody Googles Omicron J Trauma, you're the only one that's going to come
up. There are no like...
Not a lot of competition.
It's kind of like we passed by a place coming out of Austin one time that was named like Woolco, like textiles or something. Like it's like you're not gonna find any other Omicron J Trauma businesses or something, so I don't know.
Why don't I'm just gonna do this for anybody who's scratching their head, let me spell it, because it might not I mean
it,
you know,
seeing it written is way easier than hearing it heard.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's Omicron, am I right?
Yes,
so
that's
far
correct. Mm-hmm.
And then J as in the letter J, and then trauma, I think you can figure that out. Trauma, Omicron.
With no
J
punctuation.
Trauma. No, exactly. Yeah. It's pretty simple to go and look into these guys, and I highly recommend it. I really appreciate you coming all the way out here today, guys.
Thank you for having us. This has been a great time.
Thanks, Matt. This has been fun.